This is the 45 on podcast, episode 48, Streaming Wars update in 2020.
Just got back from Arkansas.
Not recently. But my sister was here in Pennsylvania. That's how I saw her.
Oh, that's right.
But yeah, I was there in June, going to see my sister. That's where she lives. Yeah, you know that.
Are you driving, flying? Oh yeah, we talked about Surrey. They just built an airport close to her house, right?
No, they've always had an airport close to their house. The new thing is the direct flight from Philadelphia to Northwest Arkansas. That was never a thing.
That's right. That's right. And what are you flying? United?
American Airlines? Yeah, American.
Only American for the redneck from Pennsylvania.
That's right. And okay, so really quick, I know this is completely off topic, but we are a travel podcast. I try to use my points with American Airlines. I had like 15,000 points. And because the flight was within like 21 days of the purchase, they were going to charge me an extra $75 premium fee to use my points,
you know, on the Chase portal or something else.
This is on American Airlines. Like,
okay, so I think there's actually a kind of surcharge for close, I don't know what you call it, like trips, like flights that are super close to the leaving time.
Yeah, like last minute.
I've heard of that before. I didn't expect it was that high.
It's $75, and it was like 3 weeks. It was like 2 weeks before. Like, that's outrageous, I think.
That's pretty bad.
To user points, whatever. Because normally the flight would be like $6. You guys just have to pay the taxes.
Yeah. Wait, so how did you... Okay, this isn't a points podcast.
No.
Let's not get into that. If you want an update on the points podcast, send us an email or tweet us at the4501@gmail.com or tweet us at the 451... Oh, sorry. The451podcast@gmail.com
mm-hmm.
or the451podcast on Twitter.
Yes.
Or you can email Tony at his personal email... TonyFlorida@the451podcast.com.
No, it's just Tony. Just our first names.
Oh, Tony@the451podcast.com.
Yes.
Tony, one day I've got to show you how to actually get into that email, but maybe after this. Okay. And so for this episode, we're not talking about traveling. We're not talking about points and miles. We're not talking about paying $75 for a, I don't know.
To use your points.
An immediate flight.
Yeah.
We're talking about cord cutting and streaming wars in 2020. Because within the past few months, there have been two more streaming services announced for everyone to use. And also, apparently, there's two more on the way that are going to launch next year. And so we actually talked about cord cutting in 2019. When was this, Tony?
That was episode...
Like a few months ago?
Yeah, episode 31 back in July, close to early August.
Okay. Yeah, and so... This is how much how fast the space is changing. Within a few months, you have more options and honestly more costs if you wanted to go that route. And so this is just kind of an update on that based off what we've known so far. Tony, what do you have? Do you have any thoughts about this particular space?
Yeah, I want to do a quick little another teaser here. Mark has sifted through all the data and actually purchased a subscription to one of these streaming services. So we'll reveal that at the end of the episode or by the end of the episode and see which one he chose.
Okay. And let's talk about what two services come out within the last few months. Oh, well those two services are Disney Plus,
mm-hmm.
which streams all Disney shows and Disney movies, including what was on their Disney Channel and the movies they've produced, including the Marvel movies, the superhero movies. So that's come out within the last week. We're recording this on November 20th-ish.
Yeah.
And that came out on November 12th.
November, okay. Right? Yeah, I remember watching it on the news. And that also includes Hulu and ESPN.
Well, no, if you bundle that.
Oh, if you bundle
We're not talking about the bundle. We're just talking about straight up streaming services. That... You can, so yes, there is an option for Disney Plus to be bundled with Hulu with ads or ESPN Plus, or that's it, or just a standalone product where you just get Disney Plus alone.
So Disney Plus alone is how much?
Well, $6.99 per month or like $70 for the year. Something like that.
Okay.
I think it's cheaper. It might be like $65 for the year.
And then the bundle per month is $12.99
to get
three of them together.
Yeah. But okay, so Disney Plus came out and then Apple TV Plus came out too. What's up with all these pluses? Like, did someone just say, like, let's just add a plus to it?
I think so. You know? Yeah. Did they come out on the same day, those two? Because they're, I think, either way, go ahead.
Apple TV came out the week before.
Okay. There's no,
and I think it was just like a timing thing. I don't think it was actually like, well, maybe it was supposed to be a competition thing, but I think it was just a timing thing.
Yeah. I guess the plus is now maybe going to be a thing with streaming services. So if you see the plus, because they did have Apple TV before, right? Like just
Apple, but that was more like an app though. And that app honestly was a consolidator app. So you could link your HBO account with it. You can link your Showtime with it. You can link your ESPN account with it. And basically that was like a catch-all. So you could basically go on your Apple TV, log into the Apple TV app, and you could find shows through the Apple TV app as long as your Hulu or Netflix or whatever accounts are linked to the Apple TV account. And you can open up your TV shows through that as opposed to going through each individual kind of app. Mm. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the Apple TV Plus, actually, it's still kind of hard because I actually have Apple TV Plus now because I recently got a new Mac product. And so what was good, again, we're recording this in November of 2019. The promo was if you buy a new Mac product, you get a free year of Apple TV. And so I was able to get that and I was able to watch Apple TV Plus.
So what's the selling point for Apple TV Plus? What's the specialty there?
So all these shows now, all these streaming services are built on kind of one premise. We're going to provide you original new TV programming that you can't find anywhere else. Okay. And so this is kind of new because the kind of disruptor in the space was Netflix, right?
Mm-hmm.
Netflix was the first kind of big streaming app that came out. I don't know, when we were in college, maybe. I don't even remember when Netflix came out.
I think so.
Well, we're talking about streaming Netflix. We're not talking about DVD Netflix.
That was a thing.
Yeah. And so streaming Netflix, they were the first people to throw money at creators and directors and actors. And they said, you know, if you want a good show, if you want to produce a show, we have money and we need content. So we'll throw money at you. You make it and then we'll put it on our service. And that kind of started the original programming rush, where now these streaming platforms, beyond showing material that is created in the 90s and the 80s and the movies that have come out recently, now they're actually putting up their own produced shows or movies. And so a lot of these new streaming platforms are taking that same model. And so Disney Plus, yes, Disney Plus is kind of relying on the nostalgia of people, of millennials, of all people to watch, you know, old movies that have come out, like, I don't know, name a Disney movie from the past.
The Little Mermaid.
Like Bambi. Little Mermaid, Bambi. That's all on Disney Plus. And so if you wanted to watch those movies in HD or 4K or whatever they have, you do that. And at the same time, they are producing original TV shows and original movies. And Apple TV is taking a different approach. They're purely producing shows and movies. And so they're not, they don't have any type of library associated with it. They don't have other movies or shows that have already been produced and they're putting up there.
So this is like Netflix originals, Amazon Prime originals. Now Apple has their own production studio, directors, all that stuff that they make.
Yep.
Wow.
And that's Apple TV Plus.
Mm-hmm. And that is the core of that streaming service that you're buying into.
Yes. Programs. So you're buying to see those shows. And so far they're okay. They're okay.
Underwhelming?
Well, so I think that they could be good. There's one really good show that I like called For All Mankind, which is a it's not a documentary. It's a TV show based on the space race in the 1960s, 50s, 1960s, 1950s?
We went to the moon in 1969.
Okay, yeah. So around then. So 1960s and 1970s. And so it's based off that, like the space race with the Russians. And it's actually really well put together. I think that's my favorite TV show on Apple TV Plus right now. The other shows on there are like okay. The thing about Apple TV is this is a common thing we do in science where we just kind of throw money in a problem and see what happens. That's what they did for this. They just threw like millions of dollars at putting these series together, hoping that, like, you know, we have these big names, the plot is like somewhat okay, what's gonna happen. And so they really relied on that, and honestly didn't really go that well. Mm-hmm. I mean, they put out like I think 10 shows on Apple TV Plus right now, and like one or two of them are good.
Oh, and man.
So that's a 20% success rate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I don't know. And I think that goes to say that the Apple TV executive who's in charge of all these content, I think she either just left or got fired. She's not with the company anymore. And I don't remember if it was like a force outing or she just got straight up fired. But apparently the general consensus is that Apple TV Plus did not premiere very well.
Yeah. So I'm starting to think now, like the gears in my brain are starting to turn. First of all, like how much is this streaming service per month for you or anybody? How much?
So I have it for free. Like, again, if you have the Mac, if you buy a new Apple product in November of 2019, then you get a free year. But honestly, I think it's $6.99 per month.
Okay. So $6.99 per month. I still... With their own original content.
Oh, sorry, it's $4.99 per month. Okay. $4.99 per month.
Even cheaper. I can't see like how they can like run a huge like make all these TV shows and just charge people for it, because that's their only source of income, is that they don't have ads or anything like that, right? It's all that it seems like very cheap, I guess is what I'm getting at. And like
it is very
how are
cheap,
they profitable?
But you got to think about
yeah, go ahead.
Well, Apple has the big Do you know how much Apple has in their savings account?
Right. Okay. So they're taking a loss on this.
Yeah, Apple's definitely taking a loss on this, and they don't care about their taking a loss, more importantly. Because I think right now they care more about getting the accounts in.
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point they probably will do a hike from like $4.99 to $5.99, but they're trying to make the barrier to entry so low that everyone just adopts it.
That is one of the...
But the problem is, Tony, right? Even if you have these early adopters, now it's about maintaining them.
Yeah, because, I mean, right, for you, you're getting it for free for a year. You have a 20% success ratio. What happens in a year when you get the bill for $5 or whatever the price is at that time? What do you get? You know?
I think the main theme for like this episode is you have these streaming platforms. Is it worth it? Right?
Like, yeah.
Do you get your money's worth for paying $5 or $7 or $8 or $20 per month for these streaming platforms?
Yeah. You could do a very simple like calculation. Like if you were paying the $5 per month, you would, and you're watching two shows, you're paying $2.50 to watch each of those shows. And like,
yeah, exactly.
They come out every week, or do they release weekly or something?
That's a new model too. They do it every week. So every Friday, they release a new episode, and that's kind of like Disney Plus too. Every Friday, Apple TV Plus releases new episodes, and Disney Plus releases new episodes of their original programming.
Okay, so
which is different than Netflix, right? Netflix was the binge app, right? Today on November 20-something. Netflix will release all episodes for season 3 of The Crown, which me and my wife, we love watching that show. And so we'll binge it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then be done with it.
That's it.
Right. And so that's kind of the like different models, like Amazon Prime, Netflix, Hulu. They will literally just put all seasons of a show at one time on one day. People just binge it. Apple TV, Disney Plus, Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus are changing that model where they're releasing episodes one at a time.
Gotcha. That's I wonder what's gonna, like, who's gonna win out there? Like, if it's just gonna be like their thing, you know? Like, what's better than the other.
I wonder if Disney Plus is actually trying to, or these two, the pluses, let's just call them pluses for
the
now.
Pluses.
The pluses, are they trying to do that model because they want to maintain people's interest over time, which makes sense? You know, because like if they keep releasing, let's say there's 10 episodes in the seasons, then you're guaranteed to have people paying for your service for at least 2 months.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely see the pros and cons of doing it each way, especially from the consumer side and from the producer side.
Yeah. And so one thing, let's be clear, that the pluses are not live TV. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think at this point we can actually break down streaming, which is actually kind of weird. You can break down streaming into two different categories. Live TV, which uses the same type of channel structure as your cable provider like Comcast or Verizon Fios or Spectrum or Three Rivers Communications.
All of the above.
Or whatever. What?
Yeah. All the
what
above.
Do you have? What do you have in Reading? Fios?
Xfinity.
Xfinity, so Comcast.
Yeah.
I think most people have Comcast, honestly, but mm-hmm. or Spectrum, or Fios, actually. So I think right now we can break that down into live TV, which is like YouTube TV, Hulu Live, Sling TV. Those are live TV streaming platforms. And then you can break it into original productions, which is kind of like Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, Netflix, and Hulu to a certain extent too.
Hulu has both, right? They have streaming.
Hulu has both
on demand.
Yeah, exactly. And so let's like put that into perspective. What are you using your streaming? I guess what are you using it for?
Right.
Is it a substitute for cable? Or using as in like an add-on package to your cable. And I think that's a real decision nowadays. Like before it was either we're streaming, we can't do that anymore. Like we can either do streaming or cable. Mm-hmm. But now we can't. And I think the reason for that is because of costs. I just listed probably 10 different streaming platforms. And if you were to buy all that, how much do you think that would be?
Oh, well over $100, like probably close to $200.
So let's put this into perspective. I just saw an ad for Verizon Fios that had gigabit internet, 2 years of TV, and a home line for $79.99 per month for like a 2-year contract.
And then it goes up to like $200 a month after that.
Well, let's jump off that bridge and get to it. But okay. Still, we're talking about, let's talk about the immediacy of it.
Yeah, yeah.
If you were to pay for that gigabit internet connection alone, it'd be $69.99.
So for 20, what was it? You said $79.99? Yep. Okay, so $10 more. You get the extra things. And that's just for the cable. Not the cable, the internet, right?
That's just for internet.
And then you have to pay for the streaming services on top of that. Like a la carte style. So that's where you have to like crunch the numbers ahead of time and find out the actual cost of what you're spending for your streaming or your cable, whatever it is that you choose ultimately.
Yeah. And so, like I said, like you need to make a decision. If you are streaming, are the programs that you get with that streaming platform actually worth it to you?
You have Apple TV Plus, you have, I think you still have Amazon Prime, which you get free with your Prime subscription.
Your Amazon Prime subscription.
Yep. And then you have cable, but you get that for free through your rent, right?
Yeah, but actually it's not HD because we don't have an HD box and I don't want to deal with it.
So you just don't watch it?
So we have YouTube TV, that's why. So we actually have YouTube TV.
That's
the big reveal, Tony. Not that big of a reveal, but that's the big reveal.
How did you decide on YouTube TV out of like the literally dozens and dozens of options that you could choose?
Yeah, and so it's very tough. Honestly, what I'll say is YouTube TV is kind of like the middle of the road cost now. It's $50 per month. I think Sling TV, depending on which package you get, Sling TV actually has three packages. They have their orange package, their blue package, which are like $25 a month, I think, and then the combined is $45 a month. So that's a little closer to YouTube TV.
Mm-hmm.
Hulu just announced a price hike in November of 2019, and I forget how much it's actually coming out to be. I think it might be like over $55 now.
Whoa!
And that's Hulu Live, not the normal Hulu.
I'm sure that comes with like added value, right? They're not just increasing the price, or do you know, like they're adding?
No, they're
more
just
channels.
Increasing the price.
Oh, really?
I don't think they're actually increasing the value with so much.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And well, maybe that's so. Hulu is actually partially owned by Disney, and so that's why we talked about the Disney bundle, right? The Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and Hulu Live. With, or is it Hulu Live, or is it just Hulu with ads? It might be just Hulu with ads.
Maybe. I'm on Apple. No. That I got out of that tab. Sorry, I don't have that information.
I actually don't think it's Hulu Live. I think it's just normal Hulu.
Yeah.
And so you don't even get live TV with that.
Yeah, that would be a you're right. You're right.
Too good of a deal. But in any case, and so I chose YouTube TV, and there's also AT&T Now, I think that's what it's called. It used to be DirecTV Now. DirecTV got bought by AT&T. AT&T rebranded it into AT&T Now. AT&T Now costs about $50-something. But the reason why I chose to go with YouTube TV is because you have unlimited DVR. You can go up to 6 streams at the same time. So if like a family member wants to use your YouTube TV app, you can actually set up a profile for them. And honestly, my sister used AT&T Now before, and she still does, but when I compared just watching AT&T Now with YouTube TV, a YouTube TV just has like a more stable connection. And I don't know the best way to explain that. I don't understand it. I think it has to do with something the YouTube TV servers are actually doing. Probably like they just have a lower bit rate, which we're not going to get into bit rate whatsoever. But the YouTube TV just seems to work better with different internet with worse internet connections, if that makes any sense.
Maybe they have like a,
and it just seems to deal better with like the congestion, like and maybe that's because Google owns those servers.
Yeah, that's what I was right? just thinking, like they already have that infrastructure that they built globally, and essentially like, yeah. I'm sure there's like a Google server near Baltimore or DC that you're pulling from, right?
Yeah. So and so maybe the Google servers has to do something with it. But overall, I just felt like my YouTube TV experience is a lot easier and much better than AT&T Now.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's a very good reason to go with that. And the fact, I guess, this is in the category of live TV. So that was one of the criteria, I guess, for you to have that in your streaming service packages, right? You wanted the live, and I'm looking at the channels now. There's a ton of 70 plus channels that you get with that package.
Yeah, and obviously there's different channel comparisons, but basically whenever you look at these packages, make sure whatever streaming service you want to have like purchase actually has the channels you want.
Yeah.
And then obviously YouTube TV, like most other streaming platforms, you can purchase add-ons like HBO Go or HBO Now, which is actually the same thing, or like Showtime Now or whatever, you can add that on to your costs.
Right, right. There's a couple new ones. Did we talk about that yet? The HBO Max, that these aren't even out yet. These are like next year, actually 2020, not 2019, 2020.
2020. Yeah. No, we haven't talked about them, but they're being released next year too.
So we got
HBO Max and then NBC Peacock.
Yes. Those are the two big ones that I've heard about all over the news, I guess.
Yeah, and so NBC Peacock is kind of like CBS All Access, I think, where you can watch all... So CBS All Access is CBS's streaming platform. This is so confusing, right? Like CBS has their own streaming platform, even though CBS is like a national broadcasting company, and you can, if you had a TV antenna, you could watch CBS all you want. But CBS wants to get in the streaming game, and you can watch all CBS network shows through the streaming app, and you can watch CBS Live TV through CBS All Access. And so it's live TV and original programming, but at the same time, it's just the CBS channel. It's not anything else. NBC Peacock is kind of like the same idea, where you can watch NBC and I also think USA original programming.
Okay.
Because USA is owned by NBC. you can watch original programming, meaning like you can watch the shows that they've produced on that channel through NBC Peacock. And I think you can also stream NBC through that app too. But that's coming next year.
Yeah, I think they're shooting for like an April launch 2020 for the NBC Peacock. And that's expected to run between $10 and $12 per month.
Yeah, and so like if you have an antenna, it's free. Besides the cost of the antenna, you do that.
How about... But
this also begs the question though, right? Because if CBS and NBC produce their own streaming apps, they're not going to license out their content to Hulu or Netflix anymore. And that's actually happened between Netflix and Disney, where Disney is no longer letting Netflix stream any of the Disney movies anymore. So if you wanted to watch a Disney movie, all you have to do is... the only thing you can do is purchase a Disney Plus account and stream it that way.
Yeah, I guess that's really why they call it the streaming wars, because everybody's like locking down their content and...
Exactly.
Yeah. So... from the beginning of the episode, that's kind of like what we talked about with like Apple doing their own content, Netflix doing their own content. And if there's not these like aggregators that brings them all together, then you're going to end up paying per studio essentially.
Exactly. And so at this point, what can we take away from the streaming wars? Like,
it's a lot to take in, right? I think the biggest thing is to do your research. Like, there's literally, me and Mark now are looking at a list of like close to 50 different streaming services right now that are available, plus like Peacock and HBO Max, which are releasing next year. You gotta kind of sift through the data here and figure out, I guess, what your needs are and which combination of these packages meet your needs. And if that's within your budget, those are the three things that are most important.
Yeah. And so I think the main takeaway is the purpose of cord cutting back in the day, actually back last year, this was the purpose of cord cutting. It was to fight the internet provider or whatever, the TV provider. I don't even know.
Cable providers.
And so that was the cable providers. They jacked up all their prices on you. They have a really bad system of purchasing and trying to get TV or internet to your actual house. And so that was the challenge. Like, how can we fight off the cable providers? Well, streaming. Yeah. You cut the cord, you just pay for the internet service, and you can stream all your shows all you want. You don't have to deal with cable and customer service and cancellation fees and re-upping fees and these huge price surcharges, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now streaming has gotten over convoluted in the sense that there's too much choice now. What do we do?
Yeah, that's
now all these individual packages are adding up to something that costs more than cable TV.
So that right there is the evolution of cord cutting to streaming wars. That's kind of how that whole thing happened.
In the end, you know what, Tony?
What's that?
The consumer has lost. The consumer has lost the streaming wars. Because the original premise of streaming is now dead.
The original premise of streaming is dead. You think so?
The original premise of streaming was to save money. You can't save money anymore.
Oh, when you come... Okay, from that angle, I agree. And unless... I mean, for some people, I think it's okay. If they don't need everything, if they just want to like pick one or two, then you can totally save money. But if you want to load up on this, if you want the equivalent, I guess, of what you had before, then maybe you'll pay the same or a little bit more, or like a lot more, actually, if you go all out.
Yeah. And what I'll say also is that if you want to purchase these packages these platforms, the streaming platforms for the original content side, I think that that's a valid kind of thing to do. And I think at this point, you can't look at streaming as kind of like a value type of ordeal. You look at it now as a content type of deal. And so streaming through Netflix or any of the original programming apps that we talked about before, if you're looking at as a way to purchase these platforms to look at the TV shows they're producing and see if they're like good TV shows that you want to keep watching. I think that's a valuable kind of question to ask. And they do 7-day trials, so you could probably test it out to see if you like any of those programs. But at the same time, 7 days is only one episode, maybe two. And so you gotta think about that.
I just thought of something. You could probably, just because there's so many, and if they do all offer free trials, you could probably get like a year worth of free streaming if you just hop from like one week free trial to the next and like just do that the whole year and try them all out. That could be your first step. Try them all out. See which one you like the best.
I guess so. But I mean, do you want to watch
that.
A week's worth of content for WWE Network?
No.
Because basically you wouldn't be watching TV for a week.
You're right. Pick and choose. How about that? That's a little bit better.
It's very true. And I think, like I said, the main takeaway is, are the platforms and the apps that you're purchasing, do they suit your needs? And are they providing you the most value? And so at this point, what's in my repertoire? We have Netflix in my house. We have Hulu. And we have YouTube TV. We have Apple TV Plus. And we were thinking about getting Disney Plus for next year. And so right now, I think all those apps are worth it to me. But if I'm calculating this out, we have Netflix Premium because I like to stream in 4K. We have Hulu with no ads because I hate ads. We have Amazon Prime. I mean, who doesn't have Amazon Prime right now, really?
I don't anymore.
Disney Plus.
Sorry,
shut
go
up.
Ahead. I don't. I got rid of it. Keep going.
Well, you don't buy stuff, right?
Right.
And so if we have, let's do Disney Plus for an annual account, and we have YouTube TV. Oh, I didn't say about YouTube TV. So all that together, I have this handy dandy calculator for me. The Netflix monthly charge is $15.99. Hulu with no ads is $11.99 per month. Amazon Prime, even though it's a yearly value, apparently it's $9.99 per month. Disney Plus per month for the annual subscription is $5.83. Apple TV Plus $4.99, even though I get it for free. YouTube TV is $49.99 for a total value of $100 per month for streaming all those packages.
That's very good. That's less than what I thought it would be.
Let's say if it's on top of an internet connection,
right,
which would be anywhere between $30 to $70. Like, you're looking at $170 for streaming all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Plus the value of Prime and the internet in general.
Yep.
But I agree. I think that's about average. What would people pay for cable TV and that same thing? Yeah.
And so let's think about this. Like, if you're willing to spend $100 per month for all those streaming platforms, then go for it.
And if you need to save, like, I don't know, if you can't afford that, if you need to save $50 a month, then drop YouTube TV or drop Disney Plus and Apple TV. Like, you know, you can work the numbers. So,
yep, obviously.
But that should give you a good idea about around what it could cost for some of these streaming services.
Yep. Okay. Well, is there anything else you want to say about streaming? Like, are you going to buy any of the services after we talked about it?
Well, I don't know. I don't really have a home or anything like that right now. So for now, I'm going to stick with stealing my sister's Netflix password.
And what happens when Netflix stops sharing the ability for people to share their password?
Then I'm going to get a VPN.
That's a good idea.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to this episode. Tony, take us out. No screw us up, please.
All right. Thank you guys for listening to this week's episode of the 45-1 podcast. We will see you next time.
See you later, and happy TV watching.
Everyone, thanks for listening to this episode. Please follow us on Twitter at the 451 Podcast to keep up with the latest news and events. If you have any suggestions for episodes or would like to contact us, shoot us an email at the451podcast@gmail.com.